Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. When last Sunday night, it seems like 3 weeks ago, but we talked about, remember, well, y'all tell me, what did we talk about last Sunday night? The two witnesses. And you remember I said the book of the Revelation is written not numerically, not sequentially, but it's written chronologically. And and so that's how it ought to be studied. And so after the first seven sealed judgments, that happens during the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period. And so those two witnesses come to fruition and come to life and do a fantastic, during the first 3.5 years. We're going to look at the Scarlet Harlot, I think, probably next Sunday night. And that's the apostate church during the Great Tribulation period. And that church is on the earth and during that first 3.5 year period. Y'all do know that not every church member is going to heaven. That disturbs my heart greatly. But there will be an apostate church, so we'll probably look at that. And tonight we're looking at the 144,000. And all of these things are happening in the first 3.5 years. And so we finished up the seven sealed judgments. And now, after those first seven sealed judgments, how many of the population on planet Earth has been killed or died? With wars, famines, pestilences, how many? That's right, 1/4. 1/4 of the population has died already. And each series of seven judgments gets worse. And so that's where we're headed towards the second set of judgments. It's called the seven trumpet judgments. But before we get there, there's an interlude, a kind of parenthesis in between the sixth and seventh seal. And John sees four angels standing at the four corners of the earth holding back this second series of trumpet judgments. And these are probably the first four angels that will announce the first four trumpet judgments. So this is kind of the lull before the storm here in Revelation 7, which is where we'll be in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14 a little bit tonight. So judgment is being withheld so that a group of people might be sealed once they have been saved. So let's look at Revelation chapter 7. John says, "After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east," that's significant, "having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads.' And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed." Now, jump over to Revelation 14, and let me just read 3 or 4 verses there for you. "Then I looked, and behold," what does behold mean? Watch this, pay attention to this, look here. "Behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him
144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a song before the throne, before the four living creatures. And the one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Heavenly Father, would You take the reading of Your Word tonight? Well, the Bible says that anyone who reads the book of Revelation is in for a blessing. And so would You let manna from heaven fall tonight? Would You bless the hearers? Father, would You just help us to understand, not only put our thinking caps on, but God, would You enliven and give our spiritual hearts revelation tonight, illumination, help us to understand what we need to know from this passage of Scripture. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we will continue on there in Revelation 7 as we move through this passage of Scripture. But as John has just witnessed this tremendous series of sealed judgments that have come upon the earth, the four horsemen, you remember all that? The four horsemen, Antichrist, who was the second horseman? You remember? Remember the red horse? War. And you remember the black horse, which was what follows war? Pestilence, famine. And then, of course, what follows all of that? The pale horse, death. And then he describes all of the judgments that are coming upon the earth. And now there's over a quarter of the people on planet earth. There will be many taken out of here during the rapture, okay? I don't know if it'll be 2 million or not, or 2 billion. I think 2 billion of the world claims to be Christian. But if you were just looking at 7 billion people, that'd be almost 1.8 billion, something like that. So that's a lot of folks that have died during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And so now John sees these 144,000 people. Who are the 144,000? Well, glad you asked. And I just want to loudly say tonight, these are not the Jehovah's Witnesses. How many of y'all have heard that before? Oh my goodness. What an annihilation of the Scripture that is. These are not Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not Seventh-day Adventists. They are not Sabbath keepers. They're not even spiritual Israel. And you'll hear that term in a lot of churches today. These are a select group of God's chosen people, Israelites, if you will. These men are the product of the preaching and teaching of two men that we talked about last Sunday night, who I believe could be Moses and Elijah, but I believe it makes more sense that it could be Enoch and Elijah. And through their powerful preaching and signs and wonders, these 144,000 young Jewish virgins, males, are wonderfully born again and saved. And that's who the 144,000 is. John tells us, he said, I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. And so they're saved under Enoch and Elijah's preaching. And these 12, now there's 12,000 of them that come out of each tribe. How many tribes are there in Israel? Do we know where the 12 tribes are today? Where are they? They're in Israel. Now we ain't got the genealogy for them, but they're there. And by the way, God knows who they are. I said God knows who they are. And He knows you. He even knows the number of hairs that you've got on your head or the number of hairs that you don't have on your head. I mean, he knows who we are, amen? And so he knows where those 12 tribes are even today. And so, now, it's a great, I need to kind of give you this tonight. I guess y'all have probably figured out, you theologians, I am a pre-trib premillennialist. But there's another group out there of end-time scholars or end-time believers that they call themselves amillennialists. You know, the millennial means what? 1,000 years. And so you've got several different beliefs. Is Jesus coming before the 1,000-year reign? Is Jesus coming during the 1,000-year reign? Is the 1,000-year reign right now? Well, this group of amillennialists believe. They believe that God is finished with Israel. And there's a big group of these people. Some of them are Presbyterian. I don't want to get in trouble tonight, but Jesus came to get in trouble with me, so I'll get in trouble tonight. But and they believe that God is finished with Israel. They think that Israel has forfeited her future, and they believe that the church is now spiritual Israel. And all of the promises that God made to Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are now to be applied to the church. Well, you can apply some of those promises to the church, but not all of them, because you see, if the church is spiritual Israel today and God's finished with Israel, then God's a liar. God lied to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he lied to King David. But I want to tell you, God's not a liar. He is Lord. And every promise he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and those great patriarchs are going come to fruition. I mean, the church has not replaced Israel. Don't ever go to that when somebody tells you that. Yes, we've been grafted in. All right? We are the family of God. And every person who's been born again since the cross, they're part of the church. All right? The 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, they're a part of the church today. But those the chosen people of God, the nation, those promises, even though some of them have not been fulfilled, they're going to be. Okay? The church has not replaced Israel. We are not spiritual Israel. I tell you what, y'all want to just go look at one of those promises real quick? It's Sunday night. We've got time. We can do that. Let's look at Genesis 12. I love Sunday nights at Second Mile Church. Genesis 12. Now, this is a promise to Abraham that God made to Abraham. Are you ready? Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Have you ever asked yourself, why are we supposed to be a blessing to Israel? Because of this verse right here, verse 3. And those that bless Israel, God's going to bless them. I believe that still applies to the people of Abraham. I still believe it applies to any nation, any people group on the planet today. And if you want to be a curse, like I believe our country was moving to, I'm not getting into politics today. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. We need to be a blessing to Israel. And I want to tell you that I've been over there, and the people over there love America again. They're not mad at us. And they're not all by themselves anymore. They are surrounded by 22 Muslim nations. And most all of those 22 nations want to wipe them off the face of the map. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand with Israel. I'm going to keep praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Keep doing that, brothers and sisters. And there's some others. Genesis 15, there's tremendous promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We won't look at all the rest of those, but I want to tell you, God has made some promises to the children of Israel. And even though some of them have not been completely fulfilled, they will be, because God keeps word. The Bible is very clear. He is going to complete that plan that He's made with the Israelites. And the 144,000 virgin Jewish males are Jews that come out of every one of those 12 tribes of Israel. Not coming out of the church. Where's the church? Remember that? Poof! We're gone. We're with Him during this time. And so, and by the way, somebody asked me this, Billy, a while back. Well, how's God going to save people in the tribulation period? The same way God's always saved people. By grace through faith. How did folks get saved in the Old Testament? By grace through faith. How did people get saved in the New Testament? By grace, through faith. How do people get saved today? By grace, through faith. How will people get saved during the Great Tribulation period? By grace, through faith in the finished work of Christ. How will people be saved in the millennium? By grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never been any other way to be saved. And these 144,000 Jewish preachers are going to be saved. They're going to hear the powerful preaching of the gospel from Enoch, and I believe Enoch and Elijah, could be Moses and Elijah, but you know, we're just kind of, I mean, it really doesn't matter who the preacher is, right? It's just the Word of God's going to be preached powerfully during the first 3.5 years, and a young Jew males are going to be saved. And they're going to preach. And my, are they going to preach? We'll talk about that here in just 1 minute. So now look at Revelation 7 again, 2 and 3. John says, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Now, picture this situation with me. The church has been raptured. We've been taken out. Okay? We're at the judgment seat of Christ, and with this marriage ceremony and celebration has begun, and the Holy Spirit is kind of in restraining mode now. The church is gone. Satan has been loosed. The Antichrist has come upon the scene. Judgments are falling upon the earth. Satan's focus during this time period on the earth will be on the Jewish people. How many of you know, have an understanding that Satan's been trying to wipe out the Jews for thousands of years? Thousands of years. He hates the Jewish people. Hates them with a passion. And he's been trying to wipe, I mean, you look at it. Look at history with me. Pharaoh tried. Did he succeed? Haman tried. Did he succeed? No. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar tried. Did he succeed? No. The Assyrians, the Greeks, the Romans, they all tried to wipe out the Jews. Did they succeed? Then the Turks, the Ottomans, Adolf Hitler, everybody down through the ages has tried to wipe out the Jewish people. Why hadn't that happened? Duh. I was standing down on the Dead Sea. My wife and several of the other women were down, you know, slinging mud over one another from the Dead Sea and get doing their makeovers and all that stuff. And so I'm standing there, and then there's this young guy that walks up to me and says, hey, how you doing? I'm so-and-so from Vanderbilt. And what was the name of that group, Billy, Carol? The Birthright. Birthright? Something like that. Anyways, the nation of Israel brings groups of young people, young Jewish people, to Israel from time to time. And there were several of these Birthright groups from America that were there. And this young boy knew the Jewish history better than I did. And we got to talking, and I got to sharing Jesus with him. And of course, I wasn't getting anywhere because the Holy Spirit wasn't yet dealing with this boy. Okay? You can tell pretty quick. And then let me tell you what happened. He didn't want to argue But he did want to get in a discourse. Y'all know what that is? That's a glorified argument. And I said, if you don't think that God has a plan for the church and for Israel, you're not looking at what we're seeing. He said, what are you talking about? I said, what do you see down below us? He said, that's the Dead Sea. And I said, why is it the Dead Sea? And he gave me a great answer. And I said, you see those mountains behind the Dead Sea? What is that? He said, that's Jordan. I said, absolutely right. I said, Jordan is what kind of nation? He said, they're a Muslim nation. And he said, they're the only ones that are semi-friendly to us. And I said, what about all these other nations that are around Israel? How are they? He said, oh, they hate us. I said, why do you think that 22 Muslim nations surround Israel today and Russia wants to come down here and take the Dead Sea for all of its wealth and mineral deposits and all that? Why do you think that hadn't happened? And boy, that one stumped him. I'm from Austin Peay, boy, from Vanderbilt, you know. I had him in, Dick, you know. And I said, here's the reason, because God has a plan for this nation. And I said, young man, you need to get in on the plan. And I shared the gospel again with him. He was very gracious, though. And so I want to tell you, God has a plan for the Jewish people, and he's going to save these 144,000 young, virgin, Jewish males who have not yet known a woman. And so, you say, well, Brother Cal, why does he, you see this word seal, S-E-A-L, why does God need to seal them? Very simple. Now, this seal has to do with possession, protection, and preservation. Can y'all say those three with me? Possession, protection, preservation. God wants to seal these 144,000. You know why? Because Antichrist would kill them in a heartbeat. He doesn't want the gospel going out. His goal is to be worshipped. He wants he and his father Satan to be worshipped. That's his goal. And so, God, now, this seal signifies ownership. Ownership. And you say, well, what is it going to look like? I don't know. I think this seal is literal. Verse 3 says in chapter 7, this seal will be where? On their foreheads. Look what it says over there again in Revelation 14, verse 1. Looked, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their what? Foreheads. So I don't know exactly what this seal is going to look like, but I think it's a literal mark that he places on these 144,000. People will know that they're God's possession. They'll know that God's protecting them, and he's serving them for a specific assignment. And I'll talk about that in just a moment, but I can't say that without saying this. Did you know if you're a child of God, did you know you've been sealed? Our Sunday school teacher taught us that again this morning. You remember that? Some of y'all got that moon calf. Look at Ephesians 4. Just quickly with me. This is good stuff. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. I was so exasperated with myself for forgetting that scripture I wanted to pull up. And you know, I got home and found it. You know where it was? It was two verses away from the one I was looking at this morning. It's Luke 16:15, if you care to look at it. Anyway, that has nothing to do with this. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were for the day of redemption." You see, this is why we believe in eternal security. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I believe in if saved, always saved. There's a lot of folks out here who give, you know, make a profession of faith and walk an aisle, give the baptized, you know, give the preacher his hand, and they pray a prayer, and for a little while pretty good, and then it doesn't look good at all. There are a lot of folks who identify with the church, but eventually leave and go away giving evidence by the fruit that they're bearing or not bearing that they never were a part of us. You've been born again, truly born again, and you're a child of the King. You are sealed until the day of redemption. What day is he talking about here? The day when you're saved to sin no more. Look at your neighbor and say, "Woo! Won't that be good? Saved to sin no more? Man, that'll be great." Some of you must be bigger sinners than others. I don't know, but to me that speaks volumes. Not ever going to sin again. And so, sealed until that day, I am. All you take my life, you take my body, my soul, and my spirit belongs to Him. That was worth the coming for tonight, by the way. Ephesians 4:30, you've been sealed until the day of redemption. And so I believe this seal that the 144,000 Jewish evangelists are going to be sealed until God does His work through them and for them. And so that leads me to say this. What will the 144,000 be doing during that period, the 7-year period? Are you ready? There's one person that's ready. Are you ready? I'm not going to keep y'all all night like we have been the last few Sunday nights. So stay with me. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 3. Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we've sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Now look at verse 9. In 7, chapter 7. After these things I looked, and behold, there it is again. What does that mean? Look here. Listen to me. Watch this. Watch this. Take notice of this. A great multitude. How many is that? A whole lot. Which no one could number. Of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. Standing where? Before the throne and before the Lamb. Clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen." Sevenfold blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Listen, folks, if you don't enjoy worship here, what are you going to do if you get there? A 30-minute sermon about where some folks are out. Have mercy. What a worship service this is. Do you catch that? Verse 13, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know..." That sounds like one of my grandchildren almost. "You know, Granddaddy." So he said, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I thought surely somebody would get up in here and dance after you heard that. Mercy. I told you, we win. Because Christ has won the victory for us. Now, these male virgin Jews will be traveling all across the globe during this first 3.5 years. Okay? After they've heard the preaching, they're saved, they're sealed. Antichrist wants to kill them, but he can't touch them until their assignment is finished. And so look at Matthew 24:14 real quickly. I think we looked at this verse last time. But I want you to get this because it's important. Get this in your spirit. Are you there? Matthew 24:14, first book in your New Testament. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Now that's the Greek word ethne, which means ethnic group. Like, doesn't mean everybody on the planet's going to hear the gospel, but it does mean every nation, every ethnic group, every people group, if you will, every language group is going to hear the gospel. What these 144,000 Jews are now, and he says, and then what's going to happen? The end will come. The end will come. And so, man, I'm praying that that's one of the reasons we're trying to accomplish the Great Commission, because as soon as every people group, every language group has heard the gospel, boom, the end will come. Now, these Jewish evangelists, and I call them evangelists because that's what they're, preachers. Anybody, any people group during that time that's never heard the gospel in their own language and in their own tongue. How's God going to do that? Anybody that can whisper in the whole universe spring into existence, not going to be a problem for God to do that. How did God save you? Wasn't any problem for God to do that. And so, have any of you all ever heard a messianic Jewish evangelist? If you've ever heard a true blue messianic Jew, most of them are on fire. They're passionate. And that's how these 144,000 Jewish preachers are going to be. Do y'all remember when the Apostle Paul got saved? I mean, before he got saved, what was he doing? Yeah, he was persecuting the church. He'd come to your town with these letters that gave him the approval to have Christians thrown in jail and even executed. I mean, he was a huge thorn in the side of the early church. But I want to tell you, Paul met the risen Savior. He met Jesus. Jesus knocked him down in the dirt of the Damascus Road off that horse. You remember all this? Y'all were there, weren't you? I was too. And he saw this blinded light. But oh, you remember what he said? Lord, what do you want me to do? And when the scales fell from his eyes and he became filled by the Spirit of Almighty God, Paul became the world's greatest evangelist the world's ever seen outside of Jesus and maybe John the Baptist. What a preacher. What a passion he had to see people come to faith. Can you imagine 144,000 Apostle Pauls on the planet who've been sealed? Do you think they're going to get anything done? Oh yeah, they're going to get a lot done. The gospel's going to go forth in power. I mentioned last week, I think, Billy Graham. Billy Graham has preached to more people than anybody in human history. It's something, it's in the billions. And have you ever seen some clips of Billy Graham when he was in his prime? When he was in his 40s? Have you? I mean, fireball preacher. Woo! Wasn't any mistaken about what the gospel was from Brother Billy's pulpit. Can you imagine 144,000 Billy Grahams? The gospel's going to go forth in power during the Great Tribulation. And the greatest harvest in human history is going to take place during those few years. Now, Revelation 7 and verse 9, we just said it's going to be people from every nation, every tongue, every tribe. I'm going to let y'all in on a secret because you're here on Sunday night. Us Caucasian folks, we're going to be in the minority. Ooh, I said, we're going to be in the minority. But you know what? We won't even care. Because the family of God's all going to be there. Anyways, John sees these folks, these men dressed in white robes. And you remember what the robes that we're going to be wearing are what? What are they? What are they symbolic of? The righteous acts of, come on, y'all. The righteous acts of the saints. That's what we're going to be clothed in. And then you're going to receive rewards for those things that you've done for Jesus' sake and for His honor. You're going to suffer loss. You're not going to get any rewards for those things that Cal Hampton did so y'all could see me. See, that's all going to burn up. And so these Jewish evangelists are going to be clothed in white righteous acts that they've done for the glory of God. You heard it say this morning, Billy said it real well, the reason that we are here is to bring glory to God. And the greatest act or work that ever happens that brings God the most glory is what? Salvation. And so that's what these young men are going to be doing. And God is going to save a multitude that no man can number. And where do they end up? They end up at the throne of God. I mean, it is a multitude that no man can number. They wind up there at the throne of God. The martyrs are all there. And by the way, when most people, Ellen sent me an email this week. Most of the people that come to faith in Christ during the tribulation period are going to be martyred for their faith. The vast majority of them. They're going to have their heads taken off. ISIS didn't come up with that. They've been doing that for years over there in that part of the world. So most of these 144,000 Jewish evangelists will more than likely be martyred for their faith. And so will everyone else during that period. The time I've been telling us, man, when's the best time to get saved? Right now. And in these countries where there's Bibles in every home, churches on every corner, I mean, people who have heard the gospel and walked away from the gospel, who rejected it, ignored it, or waited, said, I'll wait till next week. When the rapture takes place, those folks will never have opportunity to be saved again. They will believe the lie of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians, you go read it, chapter 2. It's crystal clear. But there will be multiplied millions during the Great Tribulation by people who never heard the gospel. Our God is a great God of grace. None of us deserve it. But out of His grace and mercy and love, He has sent His Son. And everyone's without excuse, Paul said over there in Romans chapter 1. This thing reminds me with the palm branches, you know, and it reminds me of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And I could talk more about that, but everybody's shouting praise for the salvation that God has provided. Then all of heaven breaks loose with this sevenfold chorus of praise. And, I'm just kind of sneaky on Sunday mornings. I just kind of look around and say, who's singing? And some of you, right, you complain about the new music, and when we sing an old hymn, you just sit there. If you make it to this scene, you're going to sing. And the Bible says you're going to sing a new song. That's really going to tear some of us up. It's going to be an unbelievable time for the family of God. But we're all going to get there. God's not going to lose a single person. We're all going to be there. Now, I think, and this is what I believe. I believe Revelation 7, 15 through 17 is a picture of the new heavens and the new earth. I think that's a foreshadowing. The tense of the verbs here in the language is future tense. And so I think we're looking at the new heavens and the new earth. The 144,000, the martyrs are there, the saints, the church, they're all with the Lord day and night. There's coming a day when God's going to wipe away every tear, but that only happens with the new heavens and the new earth over there in Revelation 21. And there's coming a day when He's going to take every tear and turn it into a pearl. There's coming a day when He's going to take every hurt and turn it into a hallelujah. He's going to put a rainbow of glory over the storms of your life. Could y'all just real quickly turn to Romans 8 with me? Real quickly, Romans 8 and look at verse 18. Now, Billy read, I think, 28 through 39. But this will make even a Baptist shout. Somebody in here is going to shout, I just know it. Mr. Bartee is going to rise from the dead. Romans 8:18, for I consider. I think the King James says, for I reckon. Paul had to be from down south. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's glory out ahead for us, child of God. There's glory out there in the future. And we're going to wrap our heads and our hearts around it, and we're going to sing and praise God for all His glory. You are the God, and if you are, you're going to get there. And you're going to be a part of this tremendous worship scene. Oh my goodness, it's going to be good. And so, what do you say to a little broken-hearted family that's just lost a child? What do you say to a man that's just lost his spouse of over 60 years? What do you say to the parent of a child who's hooked on drugs and alcohol and can't get off of it? What do you say to somebody who's being persecuted for their faith? Do you remember that song we used to sing years ago? And I believe it's taken from verses 15, 16, and 17. It's called, What a Day That'll Be. Let's stop right now. Listen, folks. It's good to end in joy and laughter today. But we have the greatest message that anyone will ever hear. And there is good news out here for folks who've received bad news. There is good news out here tonight for folks who are discouraged and distressed. And there's good news for those out here who are lost and undone, who have no meaning, no purpose in life. And it's good news of Jesus Christ. And it is a sin to keep it to ourselves. Father, I thank You for this wonderful passage of Scripture that You've given us tonight. That we'll never hunger or thirst anymore. You're going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. And You're going to lead us to living fountains of waters. And the best news is, God, You're going to dwell with us. Oh God, until we get there, help us, Lord Jesus, to sing praises to Your name and to be faithful to Your word and to walk with Jesus, day in and day out, until that time comes when He takes us by the hand and He leads us into the promised land. Oh God, what a day, glorious day that'll be. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.